o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Begins now.
Everybody else happy that LeBron got beat last night? I was happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I feel like he whines and pouts. And again, he is a great player. Second best player of all time, in my opinion. But I'm just kind of, it's always somebody else's fault.
Always.
It just makes me, ugh. I want my champions to be Truman-esque. Take it on. It's always the coach. It's always this. It's always that. Oh, it's the refs. Well, last night, 28 foul shots for the road team against Denver. Can't blame the refs last night. Got their point guards, got a bum calf. He comes up, balls out, and they beat him. I just want more from him. He's so great. But, man, I was happy to see that the Lakers, goodnightso, donezo. I don't know why. I just was.
The Packers have announced their 8 undrafted rookie free agent signings.
LeBron James?
No.
Bronny James.
Bronny. Yeah.
No, I'm trying.
Hey, now Jesse and I are finishing each other's sentences.
We got Marcus Johnson coming up at the end of this show, so I'm trying to stay on clock here. Peter Bowden, the Badgers' long snapper, leads the group. But I think I have a new favorite name on the roster.
Nemyard?
No. See, you're having a good day.
Really strong day today.
The Packers have signed a tight end out of Arizona State. Last name, Swinson.
Swanson. No, I think Swinson. I think it's Swanson.
Swinson.
Samson.
Oh, I was way off. Last name, Swinson. First name, Messiah.
Ooh.
Talk about having some high expectations built in.
Messiah Swanson?
Messiah Swinson, tight end from Arizona State. They did not even bother to sign a wide receiver in free agency. Undrafted free agency. They are set at wide receiver, clearly. They did add that one tight end,
Who
Messiah
Melton's
Swinson.
Who did brother go to? Who ended up drafting him? Because everybody thought he'd be a Packer.
Max, I believe, right?
Okay.
Max Melton. He was drafted. I was holding out hope of that happening, too. He was drafted, though. I think he might have even been drafted before Cooper DeJean, but he was drafted by the Cardinals. The Cardinals. And hopefully he is not one of the trivia questions today, because that is the trivia topic.
Didn't we do trivia already?
Which team is that guy?
Oh, I thought we did.
Can you believe it?
No. Perfect week. So I want to get to that, but that is the breaking news from Lambeau Field. 8. That's a very small class. That's what happens when you have 35 draft picks over the last 3 years. We agree that we don't believe in grading drafts immediately, correct? We're on the same page there?
Oh, that's definitely correct for me.
Even if it's our guy Mel Kiper, who's our friend and whose career you tried to besmirch?
No, we'll listen to Mel.
Okay.
Well, Field Yates we probably won't, but Mel we will.
Well, Mel has his grade for the Packers draft. Jesse, do you have a special type of music for this?
Oh, I think I do.
What do you think the grade is that Mel gave the
Packers?
They
gave him a B.
You'd be right.
Well, what did he give him?
B? A B.
About right.
Gave him a B.
All right, segment's over.
All right, let's play
that's
trivia.
That's only if we talk about LeBron. The segment is over before it starts.
Just trying to stay on time. It's 11:11 already.
What else you got?
Anything else, Jesse?
Mel Kiper, if only every prediction in my mock drafts was as easy as Green Bay's this year. For months, I've said the Packers needed to plug their void at left tackle in round one as a result of this deep and talented offensive tackle class. Longtime starter Bakhtiari is gone, and I thought they should identify the guy they liked most and take him. Turns out that's exactly what Brian Gutekunst did. My question is, did he not have Cooper DeJean going for to them in like three or four mock drafts.
Pretty sure
he had circled Cooper as one of the guys. Yep. Now he was the only one. This is what I saw people sharing on social media.
He came off of Cooper before the draft, though.
He was the only one who at any point projected Jordan Morgan to the Green Bay Packers. Mm. It was in one of his earlier mock drafts.
What a boy, Mel. Ah, what a guy. Nailed it.
That's
why you never mock the same player, because then you can get it right.
Yeah.
Six mock.
Fill out more than one bracket for the NCAA tournament. I loved the additions of linebacker Edgerrin Cooper and safety Javon Bullard, both of whom I ranked number one at their positions. So there you go. Marshawn Lloyd.
So how are we going to be? I mean, he just said we've done everything he said that they wanted to do. How is that not an A?
It's a great question. Marshawn Lloyd can be a solid backup running back to Josh Jacobs. Linebacker Tyron Hopper isn't the same kind of player in coverage as Cooper, but he'll thump backs in the hole.
Love a good thumper.
I was all in on the Packers after their first three picks, but the rest of this haul leaves me underwhelmed.
Well, there's your B.
Especially on day three. Cooper and Bullard save it from a C+.
Okay.
What do you make of that?
Well, you grabbed the QB from Tulane, even though that was a pretty sweet draft video. Jumping out the pool.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're raving and ranting about the old center.
I'm a
center.
Monk guy.
Big love Big Monk. Again, man, that's why I think if Mel had his druthers, he would not do a grading of the draft. He knows.
Gets a lot of clicks, though.
Well, it's his job, and now he gets to take a break. But, yeah, nobody knows. You can only go off of how you graded people, and if you ended up drafting them around where you had them pegged.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean you're right. So right. I think Edgerrin Cooper is going to make or break this draft. Obviously, you know, Jordan Morgan,
like
if he becomes a left tackle and is really good, awesome. But I'm talking, if you want to look at this, if we're talking here next year, if we don't say, oh, did he fit? What a pickup by the Gutenator. I think you'll look at this draft in kind of a disappointing way. If he is just a guy and isn't a playmaker, a Freddie Varner-esque type guy, I think we're going to look at this and say, But if he's as good as I think everybody hopes and has said, you're going to look at this and say, I then, Goot.
All right, let's play some trivia. Let's have Tausch tell us about Johnson & Sons paving in a moment. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
One of our favorite games that we get to play a couple of times a year. What team is that guy on?
I like it.
NFL Draft Edition. What team is that guy on?
All right. I'm liking the names that are on the list. Caller 10 right now, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 right now. 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia next. I know which team Tausch is on when it comes to asphalt and concrete. He is on Team Johnson & Sons.
Indeed. Who wants a visit with Old T? Well, I hope a lot of y'all. Johnson & Sons Paving has drafted me to be out on one of the job sites this summer. And it could be with your business. If you book an appointment before May 31st, you could see Old T out there with the crew. And Johnson & Sons is taking care of me. I got a vest. I got a level. I got sunflower seeds, hydration stuff. And our last gift package, I don't know if we're doing it tomorrow or Thursday, which I think is going to be a lot of fun for us. Johnson & Sons Paving has over two decades of experience, is ready for the challenge that winter has left behind. You know, it's pothole season, damage to car, bad aesthetics, you name it. And that's what Old T is more than likely going to be out. I'm going to be out there on those impacted asphalt areas. I'm going to patch it up, or the team will completely replace it with Johnson & Sons. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com today. I'll start digging for my hard hat. How'd you rate that one? How'd you rate that one, Jesse? thanks.
Just send me the part that I'm supposed to read. Take a picture of it, will you, so I can take part
of
it later.
See. I don't know if I'm probably just going to. I'll do it in your voice.
Oh, I didn't know you did my voice. Let's hear it.
Who wants to go there? Why do you think of it?
I sound like a pirate. Caller 10 for trivia. We'll play that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Let's play some trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Mailman Matt. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great. How about you guys?
How's the Prius?
It is doing fantastic.
All right. We'll let you get back to your deliveries after you get all three of these right. The category, which Jesse's very excited about, is which team is that guy on? What are you doing here? The NFL Draft Edition. Question number one goes to Tausch.
Ohio State wide receiver Maserati Marv, Marvin Harrison Jr. Which team is that guy on? Is it the Los Angeles Chargers, the Arizona Cardinals, or Gus Johnson's Fox College football crew?
I think he went to the Cardinals.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Matt, I'm a little concerned. If you're not so sure about the fourth overall pick, this is not going to get much easier for you. Here's question two. Former Alabama cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry. Which team is that guy on? Is he on the Houston Texans, the New Orleans Saints, or the Tennessee Titans?
I know he was taken right after the Packers pick. Can you give me the three again, please?
I can. The Houston Texans, the New Orleans Saints, or the Tennessee Titans?
I'm going to go with the Saints.
Not after the Packers pick, with the Packers pick, as they traded back with the Saints from 41 to 45, and Kool-Aid McKinstry, who visited the Packers before the draft, goes to New Orleans at number 41. You're two for two. Here comes question three from Tausch.
Former Illinois defensive lineman and one of Old T's favorites, Johnny Fig Newton. Which team is that guy on? Is it the Patriots, Commanders, or the Bears?
Commanders.
Guys like Mel Kiper Jr. up here.
How was that the easiest one?
Yeah, he delivered that one with a lot of confidence.
I honestly didn't know.
And that's your guy. Kudos to you, Matt. Also, I noticed the correct answer was B on all three questions. That doesn't happen very often. No, so, Matt, you got all four entries. Now you can go back to your deliveries. What's the most? What's the biggest package you got to deliver today? You got a big box to deliver?
I just dropped off two of them to the same place, one of my businesses. It was about 4 feet long, a couple feet tall, a couple feet wide. So I'm glad to have those gone. Gives me more room in my Prius.
I was going to say, taking up a lot of that Prius. Prius painted like a mail truck?
No, I do have a decal on one of my Priuses, and I have a magnet type thing that would go on like the door or the back of it. So the problem is that there isn't a lot of metal on some of these parts here. So there's a lot of plastic in that, you know, to keep the weight down.
And the steering wheel's on the correct side as opposed to the mail truck side. All right, Matt, good work. We appreciate you playing, and we appreciate you listening while you're going through your route. Thanks, bud.
All right. Love you guys.
No, we got to love you guys, too.
Like that. Three for three and I love you. It's darn near perfect.
It is darn near perfect.
Three for three. Oh, three.
He was three questions, right?
What else would it be?
I thought you were implying the amount of people who have played this week. And I was going to say that.
It's Tuesday.
And my streak's over.
Yeah, you had a good run. 11-26. Pretty good.
Jesse was having a great show.
Hey, what would be your game? I know Jason's. So there's a little deal going on. I sent this to you guys. If you had to go to one of like the Dave and Buster's place of an arcade game or a game, what are you putting your money on that you would be better than most people?
Ooh.
because there is a potential. And I don't know if the state of Wisconsin will be there, but for states that have legalized gambling, it's coming. That you could, I could go out with Jelly, and I could say, I think I could beat you in this. What would be the game you would pick to be the king?
So wait a minute. So what's your game?
Well, I was teasing that, and I didn't know if you wanted me to.
Well, we got Wonelli next.
Yeah, that's the tricky
part. Johnson's coming up.
Oh yeah, whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah, we can just talk more about LeBron James since you felt like I cut that topic.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I'm good at whack-a-mole.
Do they even make that anymore?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I used to think I was good. You know how you bring out that big old sledgehammer and you try to pound the thing up and hit the
pound the mole. Yeah.
I thought that would be one of my spots, but. I don't know. I'm not great at pop a shot.
Better at covering a lot of ground instead of just one big hammer down.
Shuffleboard, I'm okay at. I feel like I'm pretty average at all these. I'm not great at any. Whack-a-mole would be my top.
I'm taking either shuffleboard or I did have a pop a shot in my basement growing up for a little while, and so I got really good at. But like, I'm much better at pop a shot than I ever was at real basketball.
I'll tell you what will be the best watch. Is that game where you roll the ball up that hill and there's those little funnels? What is that called?
Ski ball?
Ski ball would be the best watch. I think that would be, if you're going to put that on television and there's gambling involved, ski ball is going to be the one that brings in the viewers.
So can you help me understand this? Because you sent this earlier, and Dave and Buster's is on the leading edge of this. They're a partner of ours in Milwaukee. I'm curious, though. If, let's say, you and Jelly want to compete in ski ball,
yeah.
Why would you bet each other through, what's the impetus behind doing it, like, through the host?
I think you're going to be able to, like, get in there and say, all right, everybody put in $20, and whoever has the high score of the night gets to take the pot home. It's not just me and Jelly going $5.
So you and I could go to Dave and Buster's, sit at the table, and then on the big screen, Tier 1 Tyler and Tier 1 Corey are playing skee ball against each other.
And
we
like
can
a
bet
big,
on it.
Yes, that's what I believe they're doing.
Wow.
Don't quote me on it. That's why I sent you the article, because you guys read that stuff.
And I did, and I still don't entirely understand it. But there's an intermediary, I guess, what I'm saying. If the three of us go to Dave and Buster's and compete, we could just compete against each other and do it off the books, is what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I feel like there's a point-shaving controversy waiting to happen here.
Well, there's always stuff that pops up.
I'm playing Papa Shot, even though I tend to get beat by that. By Sydney in that. But that is my favorite game to play when I am at one of those places. All right, we're going to get to Wonelli and then scheduled to appear at 11:45 alongside Lisa Byington. He is the voice of the Bucks on Bally Sports Wisconsin, and he is a Bucks legend. His number's retired, right?
It is.
Better check on that.
Yes, it is.
And people don't think Chris Middleton's number's getting retired?
Wonelli!
Marcus Johnson scheduled to appear as well. Let's do Wonelli next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Marcus Johnson, Bucks legend, number 8, retired in the rafters at Fiserv Forum, scheduled to appear at 11:45. Time now for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraka's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wildy and Tausch.
So, the Milwaukee Brewers lost 1-0 last night. Tausch getting ready to go to the game tonight. There was controversy with the umpires for the second straight game at American Family Field. On Sunday, Aaron Judge sliding into second base disrupted a double play by putting his hand in the air. Many saying that was interference that was missed, including the umpires after the game in the pool report, saying, yeah, we missed that call. Ended up leading to a huge rally for the Yankees later in the inning that the Brewers would have got out of.
Yeah, I don't know how they missed that one. I mean, First off, you could end up, that's going to end up Aaron Judge now. If I'm a second baseman, you're going to end up getting a ball in your face. You do stuff like that. So,
you're right.
Buyer beware. Bring your own bewareness when you're going to do that stuff. But I don't know how that one was missed. Like, it literally hit his hand and he went up. Like, he was blocking the throw.
And he was wearing, like a ping-pong paddle on his hand. Like, yeah, he was trying to block it.
It's enormous.
I don't know why and how they missed that one. Last night, and I know Murph was irritated about it, the swing did. Now, you can say, well, the catcher moved up. The ball was passed. I understand where the Brewers are coming from, but the bat hit his helmet.
So for those who missed it, the Brewers down 1-0 in the ninth inning with one out, had runners on second and third. Mm-hmm. On a swing and miss strike three, the ball got past the catcher, which on a swinging third strike, first base open, you can run to first, run,
thank you,
came
Johnny
in, tied
umpire.
The game. I was a little league umpire. I was pretty doggone good at it.
He was the, what were you, the captain? What was your title?
The umpire chairman for a couple of years. Yeah, I was the chairman.
The chairman's chairman.
So, as the swing came through, it hit the catcher in the head, who was trying to lean forward to get the ball that got away. And by rule, the umpires got it right that it's a delayed dead ball interference call on the offense. And so you let the play out, but then the ruling is send the runners back to their bases that they started the play on. So couldn't score the run, had to go back to third, had to go back to second. They ended up loading the bases, striking out, ending the game 1-0. Mm. But back-to-back nights of controversial calls
Sunday
going
egregious.
Against the Brewers.
It's always tough to complain when you lose by 10, but that was a monster rally that would not have happened had they gotten that one right. Last night's, I can understand the call. Two days ago, I cannot.
I still don't understand last night's. I understand that you being the arbiter of all things fair and unfair in umpiring, would say that it was the right call. Then I don't like the rule.
You're right, like, when catcher's getting drilled in the back of the head.
No, but I think that it was, watching the replays, it appears to me that the catcher's movement puts him in harm's way, as opposed to the batter's natural swing being illegal in nature and whacking him in the head. Is that a fair counter-argument?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The delayed dead ball call was always one that, when we ran into that, and it's happened 5 or 6 times in games that I did over a decade, that was always the one that drove everybody crazy. Because you have to let the entire play go. And you could have, like, especially in Little League, you get, like, home runs can happen from that. And then afterward, you have to go put everybody back. All the kids are confused. The coaches are all amped up because they just scored a bunch of runs. And then it all gets taken away. They get frustrated. Mm. That one's happened before. The delayed dead ball, I wish there was a way that we could do that differently. But them's the rules.
Whoa, no. Whoa, Nelly!
All right, last one here before we get to Marcus Johnson. A question that we had on the Great Dane Huddle last night. I'm hosting that show now, Great Dane Huddle, Monday, 6 to 7.
Full-time host?
100.5 wow. ESPN. Interim, we'll call it interim. Oh, interim.
God, you work hard. You have to take off our show because you're doing the Great Dane Huddle now?
I think he is actually taking off tomorrow. Right?
I happen to be filling in on the show where I get food and beer if I really want to stick around for it afterwards. So, yeah, it's a shame every Monday. But I was talking last night with our friends Adam Mertz and Colin Russo. So, 700,000 attendees to the NFL draft in Detroit over the weekend. We asked, would you rather go to the draft in Green Bay or anywhere else in the world? If you could only go to one draft for the rest of your life, do you want to go to the one next year at Lambeau Field or any other draft anywhere it could ever be?
Oh, good question.
That is a good question.
How do you answer that, old T?
Well, the next one is in Green Bay. I just think being able to see how it all unfolds up there is going to be more interesting to me than any of the other NFL cities. So Las Vegas would be awesome, no question. Yeah, I'm going to say Green Bay just because I want to see how it all is planned out and how it plays. Plus, you'll have a lot of Wisconsin folks there.
I'm very much looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fascinating.
You nervous it's going to not go well, like Rob Domofsky?
No, I think they've got. I think they seem to have a pretty good plan now. I do find myself wondering.
What are you going to rent your house? What would it take for someone to rent the Wilde house out?
I don't think there's a number.
$10,000 for the week.
So what am first of all, where am I living? Because I still have to be in town.
Go to Sheboygan. Get family in Sheboygan.
I don't know the Vrbo
come down
and
here.
Airbnb
come
rules.
Down to Madison.
Live, live
stay
at the trio.
With Jesse.
Live at the trio.
Hey, live at the trio.
Can I rent out the trio?
No.
The other problem is, what do I do with four hamsters, six cats, and two dogs? They don't come with the house. No one's renting our house to spend time with Stella and Sadie and the crew. I don't have anywhere to go with them. We were discussing this at Maddie's track meet with some other parents who were thinking about doing it too, and it's a lot. Like, you'd love to make the money, but you still have to have somewhere to go.
You can come stay with us.
I have to cover the draft.
Well,
it's kind of a long commute.
I think we do a contest where a fan and a guest win the chance to stay on your couch, and you don't have to go anywhere, but they get to stay with
that
you
actually
for 3 days.
That actually is a great
idea. It's not making 10 grand out of that.
Embed it in with Wildy.
And then you, the stipulation, dogs, cats, mice, they're all
hamsters.
Part of it.
All right, that's it for Wonelli. I'm not renting out my house for the draft. The legendary Marcus Johnson. He was legendary for the Bucks. He was legendary in White Men Can't Jump, and he's legendary now calling the Bucks games with Lisa Byington on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
One of the cool things about this job is that if I would have told, like, 9-year-old Jason that I would have Robin Yount, Sidney Moncrief, and Marcus Johnson's phone numbers in my phone, that would have been, like, the coolest thing anyone could ever... Of course, I wouldn't have even known we were going to have cell phones by now. But this guy's joined us before. I've told him that I pretended to be him in my driveway. He's got a lot of important things to talk about, including the Bucks playoffs and this whole... yesterday's pancakes analogy that we need to discuss with him. But he's also doing a really cool thing with Serenity Inns in helping promote and help people that fight substance abuse. It is Marcus Johnson, Bucks legend, on Wildy and Tausch. Marcus, good morning. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. Thank you. Hopefully I'll be able to say that about 10:45 p.m. tonight.
Yes, we are all hoping that that's the case. Are you suiting up? Given where things are at, or
no, I mean, the thought occurred, but then my better mind prevailed. But you know, it is what it is. We're shorthanded, obviously. The good news is that Bobby Portis, because of his parry instead of a punch, didn't get suspended for this game, so he'll be available, and I suspect he'll want to atone for. A lapse in good judgment with the incident in Indiana with Andrew, I call him Nimrod, but Andrew Nimhard. he and Nimrod got into it, and so anyway, he's available. The bottom line is he's available. So look, if we play with any semblance of the energy, effort, and productivity that we played with in game four in Indiana with the home crowd on our side this time around, hopefully spurring us on, rattling the paces a little bit. I believe we'll be okay. Indiana's got a lot of confidence. They're going to be tough to shake, but I think we're going to be okay because we did such a great job in terms of the overall energy. Just couldn't sustain it for the entire game, but that's how the game goes.
Marcus, are the Pacers as annoying as they feel like when we're watching them? Like, yes. I know it's a rivalry, but they seem annoying, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. I mean, they're like that snotty nosed little kid brother that's always around tugging at your pants, always getting into your stuff, always bugging you. I mean, they talk a lot of trash. I love Tyrese Halliburton. Oshkosh's finest. But he gets into it, knocks down a big three. He's going to let the world know that, you know, who he is and what it's all about. Talked about Nimhard. He's another guy that has a lot of confidence. And that's what makes it a great rivalry. And the fact that they were able to dominate us pretty much in the regular season gave them a lot of confidence. So, I mean, they feel like they are the better team, and it's up to the Bucks tonight to go in there and prove otherwise by playing a physical game, by slowing it down, by playing better defense, especially against Miles Turner. He's just owned us 7 for 9 from the 3-point line in the last game. And, he's been a real, real star for them. And then the guy that we've got to look out for is Pascal Siakam. He had 36 and 37, I believe, in Milwaukee the first two games. Didn't score 20 in Indiana. So he's going to come out looking to be aggressive and looking to get in people's faces and talk trash. And trust me, they're going to try and get under Bobby's skin and try and provoke him, get him to react again. So it's going to be a lot of stuff going on out there tonight. But that's what makes it fun. It's a terrific rivalry. Gets a champion, the Milwaukee Bucks, against an up-and-coming team that hasn't been in the playoffs for 5 years. So, you know, and so they're excited, and that's understandable.
Marcus, I don't know about you, but obviously when Dame isn't able to go and, you know, Giannis has not been able to go at all, was what we saw on Friday and on Sunday just a reminder of how great Chris Middleton still is? Because I think we look at it, and I was wondering, and we pulled it on our show today, Chris Middleton's number is going to be up there with yours, don't you think, when all's said and done?
Oh, without question. No, he, you know, you can just go back to the championship year, 2021. I was just looking at some numbers. I mean, he had a 40-point game in the NBA Finals. He carried us in that Atlanta series when Giannis went down. He hit some big shots against Miami, I believe, early in the playoffs, the first round. Hit a game winner to kind of keep us in that positive direction. So, and then it's just his whole body of work. And then you look at what he did just the last couple of ball games, the 42 points in 41 minutes. I didn't think he'd have much left in game four. Came back with 25 points. And, you know, it was a 5-point game. When Brooke hit a three, he brought us to within 5 with about 6 minutes left in the third. Doc took Chris out to give him a much-needed blow, and the Pacers went on a 7-zip run, and we had a tough time scoring, and they were back up 12, and that was pretty much ball game. So that right there is a microcosm of the importance of Chris Middleton being on the floor. But yes, indeed, double deuces will definitely be in the Raptors.
Talking with the legendary Marcus Johnson on Wilde and Tausch. All right, Marcus, I want to get a little more about the game tonight, and then we need you to explain yesterday's pancakes, which was our favorite thing that we heard from you earlier in the series. But before we do that, I want to make sure we get to this, because Lisa Todd, who is basically the sister that I never had, connected you and I, because you're doing a really cool thing, and I just have so much respect for you for doing this. So you're partnering with Serenity Inns, which is a treatment facility that addresses substance use disorder on Milwaukee's north side. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a kid and you went through your substance abuse challenges, it was disappointing. You're my favorite player. But sure. I'm an old guy, and so I remember that. You easily could have that in your rearview mirror with everything you've accomplished since and everything you do for our community. And instead, you're talking about what you overcame in order to help their cause as they're getting ready to open a new facility this summer and to raise money. Why did you choose to do this and to share your story and to help that cause? Why was that so important to you?
Well, because recovery has been such a positive part of my life. And yes, I went through a drug treatment facility in 1982, but you know, I was 26 years old at that time. It was not as serious about it as I should have been. And then around the 1990s, when I had been retired for a few years, I'd gone through the end of my career with a neck injury playing for the Clippers. 7 months later, my son drowned in a backyard swimming pool incident that I never really processed. And so abusing drugs and alcohol was a way for me to anesthetize a lot of the stuff that I was going through. And so I got into the recovery process around 2002, and it's just been something that's turned my life around. So once I was hired by the Bucks 9 years ago, I stayed actively involved in the recovery community here in Milwaukee. And so I came in contact with a lot of men from Serenity Inn and all the positive things they had to say. It's a residential treatment facility, holistic approach to treating drug and alcohol and substance abuse disorder. And that means, you know, financially, they have financial literacy programs, the spiritual aspect, the emotional aspect, bringing families back together. And so when I was asked to come on board and try and help to raise some funds to complete a brand new facility that's about 85% completed, that's going to provide more services for the men struggling with substance abuse disorder, it was just a natural fit for me. And I'm just so proud and privileged to be a part of what they're doing, because I've witnessed firsthand Serenity Inn and some of the benefits. SerenityInn.org is the website if you want to donate. But if this is all about doing things that's going to impact in a positive way the underserved communities of Milwaukee, and substance abuse disorder is not about, you know, social economic levels. It's not about race. It's not about anything. It touches everybody, all aspects of life. And with the opioid crisis blowing up the way it has over the last few years, I mean, yeah, I think people in the Midwest have really gotten a good idea of just how much of a scourge it is to society. And so whatever we can do to try and help these men, women, people that are out there struggling, we need to do. And again, I was more than happy to be a part of this, and I think it's such a great cause, and I feel honored to be asked to do something to assist.
Well, we certainly applaud you and respect you for that. We can't let you go, though. We had so much fun with your yesterday's pancakes. Tausch, help me out. What exactly did Marcus say that caught your attention?
Well, I'm going to let him say it because I don't remember it exactly. It's been a full week, but I heard it and I wondered, what is exactly does that mean? I love a good analogy, Marcus. Where did you get that? And can you kind of give us the framework of how that became part of the broadcast?
Well, I just made it up. I mean, you can't get full on today on yesterday's pancakes. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday, what you ate yesterday. It's like fresh manna falling from the sky. You know, it only lasts for that day. Today is a different day, and you've got to bring a whole different energy, mindset, focus to this day if you want to succeed. So, you know, yesterday's pancakes are just that. That's yesterday. They served their purpose. Now it's a brand new day. You need some new pancakes. And so yesterday was blueberry. Today maybe apple, okay. Apple cinnamon, maybe, you know, strawberry, whatever your fancy. But you know, it's a brand new day, and you need something to feast on today, some sustenance today to be effective.
I love it. But in, of all foods, pancakes are pretty good leftover. Right? You could.
I've never had leftover pancakes. You know what I mean? Me and my sister, Deborah, used to have pancake eating contests.
Okay.
And I'd eat about 30. They're thin. My dad used to make it. She was right there. We eat about 28. And so, you know, we eat them all up. The point is, there was never any leftover. Whatever was cooked for that morning, man, we didn't leave anything leftover. We finished the whole lot, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I was just wondering if it was sushi. Then I'd be like, yeah, you definitely ain't going to have any sushi leftover. But I just love the analogy, and I love to be able to dissect it. So I appreciate you on that, Marcus.
Oh, yeah, all good, man. I'm glad to be of service.
Marcus, we appreciate you making time for us today. We would love to have you back. We can all eat pancakes together and talk Bucks basketball. Good luck tonight. Hopefully you're calling a win and they at least force game six. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you a lot.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There you go.
It all makes sense now. He's never had yesterday's pancakes.
I love the fact that he said he just made it up that night. That, yes. To me, I always enjoyed him.
Kindred spirits.
The fact that he did that and admitted it and now thinks about it and brought manna into the equation, just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
All right, what a way to end it. That's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. Thanks to Marcus Johnson. Thanks to you for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.